We have Chuck and Wendy Linhart come to us. They brought their son Christopher today as well, all the way from Pennsylvania. They're at a thriving church there in Pittsburgh. This pastor, again, is a guy named Joe Garlington. We've seen him actually in South Africa, Christ for the Nations. This guy has been a world traveler, but has a great church in Pittsburgh. We met Chuck back in 1997, my first trip there to China to do tracting at nighttime in a great city called Xi'an, which has got a big wall around that, close to the Terracotta Warriors with Dick Bashta. We also ministered in Beijing and met some underground church leaders. Met a man, a woman whose name is Mabel. In her early 90s, she actually knew Watchman Nee personally and just talked about the stories of what's happened there in the past. Some of those guys actually have been in prison and been beaten for 10 to 15 years for their faith, who've been caught in the underground church in China in days past. There's been a mighty move of God take place in China for the past 10, 15, 20 years. Millions have come to Christ. There's great underground church network there now. So we're going to go ahead and let Chuck share some things today, some videos of what he's doing in Central Asia, in China. And just had a great time with him also in Myanmar this year with Jack and with Anson with India. But we had a great time with him and the team that was there with us, and look forward to going back there again next year and just look more to hearing what you have to say to us this morning about your work and ministry and the Word of God. So let's welcome Chuck Linhart this morning, and we'll talk to you later on.
Thank you, Pastor. Amen. How's everybody this morning? I just give you greetings from the great Pittsburgh nation. And I want to thank everyone here that gets up every morning and goes to work and punches in a time card and serves God at their workplace. Amen. If it wasn't for people like you, there wouldn't be people like me. Amen. And it's an honor to share the Word of God with God's people who work so hard at work and at home, and then their spare time come to church on Sunday morning. So I just honor you today. And my son has a gift for the church here today, just on behalf of the Pittsburgh Nation. He's going to go around and just give you a few terrible towels. Just a gift from the Steeler Nation. You know? Yes. Amen. You can, wipe your baby's nose with that, or, wash your Harley with that, or maybe hang it on your wall. Who knows? And throw darts at it. Amen. It's an honor to be in the house of the Lord. And God is alive and well in communist China. God is alive and well in what we call restricted access nations. There is no restriction when it comes to the Holy Spirit. There is no border that he cannot cross. There is no human that he can get into and change forever. There is no Buddhist monk that hums up on a mountain that is too lost for Jesus. Amen. Because we're seeing Buddhist monks who hum on mountains and waste their lives come to Christ. And the Holy Spirit, and through prayer, I was going to call him Uncle Mike. It's a Chinese thing, man. When you call someone an uncle in Chinese culture, you're honoring them. Pastor Mike. It's true that through intercession, walls and barriers are ripped down. The dark veil that covers the eye of the unbeliever from seeing the glorious light. Through intercessory prayer, through the cry of the saints, that veil gets removed, and all of a sudden people begin to see and understand what we're talking about. I'll give you a little testimony about this. I may have even shared this before. There was a team of ours, a Chinese team, that was going to target a village of a minority people, ethnic people. There's 100 million ethnos in China, individuals. There's over 300 different tribal groups in China, many forgotten, many without the gospel, many hidden in mountaintops, removed from society. And so this team of ours went in there, and they went in and they preached and they handed out literature and they did all they could, and no one listened. No one cared. No one got saved. They probably used the literature for toilet paper. Who knows? And they scratched their heads and they wondered, why? Why? Why isn't this gospel working? Why? And they began to pray, and God showed them, you didn't rip that dark veil off through intercessory prayer. So what they did for 1 month, they did shift work, and they walked. Some walked around this region. Some rode their bicycles around this region. I'd personally be on a Harley going around that area praying. Some got in their minivans and prayed over the area. They did this for a month. And then after a month, the same team with the same gospel went to the village, walked around, did their Jericho march 7 times around this village, and then yelled Jesus' name 7 times, went into the village, preached the same gospel to the same people, handed the same literature out, and they all got saved. Yes. And there's a church in that village today. Because prayer breaks down the enemy's deceptions over people. People live in a bubble. Go out into Austin and go down to one of them concerts. I love live music. But there's a lot of people living in bubbles. They're living in these blinding bubbles, we'll call them. You know, you talk to them and, you know, they're really educated. They ought to, like, get it. But because it's not about education and how smart you are, it's a spiritual war, as Uncle Mike was saying. It's a spiritual war that comes over a city and over a people. And only the people of God have the equipment, have the tools, have the ability to rip these things off of people. I just love to see people who are in bondage just get all the stuff ripped out of them. And they discover who they are. They discover the Creator God, the God of the universe who loves them and created them. And they suddenly begin to walk in purpose in their life. I remember before I was a born-again Christian, I was a person that always said I couldn't do it. I can't do it. I was the kid in school. I hid behind that book and prayed to God that teacher never called on me to read because I couldn't do it. And I spoke this to myself all my life, even though my mom and dad never spoke any of that over my life. I lived in this bubble I created for myself, the bubble of no confidence. And when I got born again, amen, and I found out that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, I become, amen, a tongue-talking, devil-stomping, prophesying Christian. Amen? Can you say that with me? Can you say, I'm a tongue-talking, devil-stomping, prophesying Christian? One more time. I'm a tongue-talking, devil-stomping, prophesying Christian. Amen. And that is what it will take to get this community saved, to get our nation back on track, to see the nations come to Christ. It is going to take some radical, out-of-your-head Christians. I tell people, you got to get out of your head so that you can get His mind in your mind. This mind, my old uncle, Pappy Ray, would say, your mind is the, it can be the devil's playground, the playground of the devil. He can get in there and he can just manipulate your thoughts. And to get you thinking off of God's ways and God's plan. And he wants to create in your mind a bubble in your life, a darkness in your life where you can't see. And we have to every day be tongue-talking. Amen. devil stomping, prophesying Christians, and we do that. We remind our minds, as Cheryl said, who we really are. We remind our past, no, I'm not that. Yes, I am the head and not the tail. Amen? And we remind ourselves with the Word of God, who we are, who our God is, what our destiny is. There's so many times we can just get down on who we are. We can cripple ourselves, and the devil plays with us. He gets into the mind. See, spiritual warfare, my friends, is right in between your ears. Sometimes we think it's out there. It's out there, all right. We see it. But I'm going to tell you, right between these two ears can be the devil's playground. And we can stop and we can shut his fat mouth by saying, this is what the Lord says about my situation. By his stripes, I was healed. By his wounds, I was healed. Yeah, I don't feel so good, but by his wounds, by his, those stripes, I receive all the healing that he's already paid for. I receive all the freedom that was already paid for on the cross. I receive all the deliverance that was already paid for on the cross. Amen? And that's got to be your speech. And we're all negative every once in a while. Live with me, you'll find out. Just ask my little lady. She keeps me on track. She's a little lady that carries a big stick. I'm telling you. When I met my wife, honey, stand up. My wife, Wendy. I had a real big old bushy, ugly Harley beard about, 3 weeks ago? That sucker was coming down out of there. I mean, I was working on that thing. And then my wife said, you know, I'm getting sick of having an old man around me all day. Why don't you cut that thing off? When we go to airports, they think I'm not like a part of that. I mean, we go up there in line, we're together, but for some reason, it's like they think I got like a teenager chicken in my arm, and this old bearded ugly dude. And it's like they're not together. Well, yes, we are together. Thank God for women in our lives that help us out. Amen. Behind every great man, there's a greater woman carrying a big stick. Sometimes she's like the only person I'd ever listen to. You know what I mean? Sometimes she's just, you know, a lot of people want to say this, that, and the other. But when she says stuff, it's normally true. But people outside say it's not always true, right, of what people say outside about you. But inside, oh, man. You just, there's no place to run. There's no place to hide. But smashing down the devil's kingdom so that the glorious kingdom of Christ can come and inhabit a people. Amen. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. It means that God literally lives in the praises of his people. And when you praise God, when you exonerate God, the devil gets ticked because he wanted to be exonerated. And he's over in the corner sucking his thumb saying, that glory belongs to me. Too bad, Mr. Devil, it doesn't. It's all belongs to the Lord. And when we worship and we praise, we lift the lid off of a community. Our worship and our praise unto the Lord with a pure heart, as David was a man after God's own heart, become arrows over our community, become arrows over our cities, our states, our country, the nations. Prayer is you get your battle done in prayer. And going out and to do ministry is just the result of that. The souls that come in, the miracles that happen, it's just the result of prayer. We think if we work harder in our flesh or and do that, that somehow something will change in the spirit. It won't. The Bible says we don't fight against flesh and blood, do we? We fight against these dastardly demons, fallen angels, that have assignments to ruin our lives. And there's sometimes we get handed a lot of crap in our life. Have you ever been handed something in your life? And you're like, why? What is this? What is going on here? See, it's another diabolical plan for the devil to bubble you up. And sometimes the stuff we're handed in life, our first thought sometimes as Christians, I know I struggle with this, and I want to point my finger to God. And I want to say, why, God? What's your problem, man? You died for all that on the cross. Why is this all happening? You get what I'm talking about? And the first thing we're tempted to do is turn from instead of turn to God. To turn from and begin to be the accusator. The Bible says that Satan is around the throne of God day and night doing what? Spewing out accusations against the saints. Have you ever been accusated against? Maybe right before you come to church. Your wife got on you. No. No. We've all been accusated against. We've all been come against. Sometimes true accusation, but a lot of false bull. And this is a plan for the devil to tie you up, to hinder you powerless as a Christian, as a minister in your work. See, you're first a minister of the Lord before you're a plumber. You're first a minister of the Lord before you're a salesman. Amen? That is who you are. You are a minister. A tongue talking. Devil stomping. Prophesying. Christian. That's who you are. By DNA. When you hooked up with Jesus and his blood cleansed you, by your DNA, you have now become somebody different. Amen? You have become someone that has answers. You have become someone that has something in you that can heal the sick, that can help the depressed. You become someone like that oasis of coming into that dried up desert. You become a fresh drink of water for that depressed coworker at work that keeps complaining about his wife, kicking his dog every day before he comes to work. You become a fresh breath of air. You become someone that lights other people up. Isn't that awesome? It's like you're like an energy source for people. When they get near you, they feel joy, and they don't know why. When they get near you, they feel something different about you. My older son, Jared, he's 20 years old now. We just sent him forth on May 25th to China. He lives in one of the largest cities in the world, the fastest growing city in the world. There's 13 million. And recently, the Lord hooked him in to the entire Harley gang of China. There's 1,000 Harleys in China. That's it. They only sell 250 Harleys every like 2 years, I think. It's to the elite rich. If you're going to get a Harley, you better get your pocketbook out in China. It's going to put you back 80 to 100,000 grand. 200% tax. But the Lord hooked him in to this group of men. And here's what he hears them say. And these are young men in their mid-20s, mid-30s. We've made all the money we can make in our life. We have so much money, we don't know how to spend it all. Wouldn't that be great? And our girlfriends are always nipping at our ankles for more and more and more and more and more. Our families are always nipping at our ankles for more and more and more and more and more. And we're just so sick of life. We have everything. We can buy anything we want to buy in this world. But there's something missing in our lives. There's something missing. And my little son, Jared Daniel Linhart, bless his soul, he's there telling them about Jesus. And they're getting it. And they're getting it. So pray for Jared. He's learning Chinese, his Bible Chinese. He's very fluent in Chinese. It's one thing to order sweet and sour pork with Chinese. It's another thing to preach a sermon in Chinese. So he's learning the Bible language, how to preach in Chinese, sermons, how to witness this and that. And he's doing really good. Pray for him. And God is using him to break people out of their bubbles. And God wants to use you, my friends. Be bubble breakers. Be bubble breakers. Don't worry about those sinners out there. They think you're out of your head anyways. So you may as well just go deep in. Just go out of your head for Christ. Be a witness for Jesus. Don't be afraid of no one. The devil roars around, the Bible says. Like a roaring lion. Like one, not one. Like one. And when he comes to you and you reject him, he can only gum you. He had no teeth. Yeah. He just gum you on your arm. He grows teeth when you allow him to grow teeth. He don't have no power over you. He don't have no power over your family. He was defeated on the cross. Amen? Yeah, he's a smart old wise serpent. But he's no pain. He's a pushover. Jesus, handle him any day. Any day. The greater one in me, my Bible says, the greater one in you, the greater one in me, is a greater than the one that's in the world. And we need to become fierce. Fierce warriors for Christ. Speak his word. If you don't speak his word, you got to proclaim his word. When you proclaim his word, you put something into motion. If you just sit back, and I know some of you are more timid than others. I'm just a big, fat, big mouth from Western PA. And sometimes I say the wrong things. But I speak it out. When I go into those mountaintops and those Himalayas, we've been at it for 28 years now, 27, 28 years. I went out when I was, I can't remember how old I was. It was 87. But we've been proclaiming the kingdom of God in the Himalayas. We've been proclamating. It was put into motion 28 years ago. My first trip was to the rooftop of the world, Lhasa. Imagine this. You're in Western Pennsylvania. You're a lumberjack cutting trees down and picking your nose. And you're just loving God, praying all day in tongues. Hope to God you don't whack your arm off with a saw. I almost cut myself up with a chainsaw, man. You ever chainsaw a tree? Trees can hold tension like people. And eventually they explode. So this tree had this, you don't know. You don't know some of the tension that people have. Until you hit a nerve and they explode. And see, then you can be a comfort to them. It happens sometimes. So I'm out there chainsawing, boom, I hit this tree. And this tree come up. And normally it knocks your head off and you die. But somehow I got quick. Maybe it was an angel. I stepped back. The tree went that way. The chainsaw almost tore my shirt from here to there and didn't touch my flesh. Amen. So in spiritual warfare, you come against tensions. You come against opposition. Don't be afraid of the devil. Don't be afraid of his resistance. There's sometimes I go out and the devil will say to me, you go out and do that work. I'm going to put a sickness on your family. I'm going to cripple you. I just tell the devil, you're a fat liar. Jesus come to give me life and life more abundant. And I'm going to follow through with the life. I'm going to follow through with the proclamation. I'm going to set God's agenda in motion through my proclamation. That's what he did, right? Let there be light. He set something into motion, and there was light. Amen. In our words, I'm the most guilty one of us all. Our words can give life or death. And sometimes when I speak with this mouth, it brings death. And I hate that about myself. When I speak out of order to my family sometimes, to my coworkers, to myself sometimes, and I got to learn to catch it and say, no, I don't proclaim my son's a dummy because he can't figure something out on the TV and there's a wire loose. We do it. We speak it. But I reverse it in the name of Jesus. Every curse. Amen. Begin to speak God's agenda for your life. Begin to speak whatever you are going through today. Reject the foolishness of Satan. And sometimes people say, well, you know what? You're living in a dream world. You're darn right I'm living in. I'm living in God's dream world. I want God's dream for my life. I don't want my own dreams. I don't want my own ways. I want His ways. His ways are higher than my ways. His ways are better than my way. So just relinquish to that and begin to speak His will. We came back to the States in 2009 after 21 years of mission service. God sent us back here. And I heard this word a lot. So what's the backup plan for your kids? There is no backup plan for my kids. It's the plan of God is what's for my kids. What's the backup plan for your life? There is no backup plan for my life. His ultimate wonderful will is the plan for my life. Amen. I don't got a backup plan, man. He's got a plan that'll work out so good that you won't need a backup plan. And a lot of people think, well, that's being irresponsible. Boo-hoo-hoo. You're being irresponsible for not trusting God and being number one. Him being number one. And you got a backup plan. You don't need a backup plan. Get His plan, and His plans work all the time. You just got to submit yourself to His will, and things happen, and things happen. I always said to the Lord, I'll go anywhere for you. I'll eat anything for you. And my word, I've eaten some really nasty stuff out there. We might not even want to get into that. Whew. I'll go anywhere for you. I'll eat anything for you. I'll sleep anywhere for you. I'll go and tell anybody for you, Lord. This life is not my life. I don't own this life. Lord, you want me to go there? I'll go there. Lord, you want me to stay here? I'll stay here. Lord, whatever you want me to do, I am just a veil. I'm a vessel. Amen? We're just vessels. And when we relinquish ourselves like this, the Holy Spirit takes you like a puppet. And He ventriloquists His life. And He channels His message through you. He channels His goodness through you. You become someone that is just so pliable for the Holy Spirit to work. A lot of people wonder, why didn't the Holy Spirit work? Why? Yeah, because you haven't relinquished yourself fully to Him. And when you do that, things begin to change. Things begin to change. When you understand that you are a slave to Jesus, things change. It gets great. Man, slaves, they get fed by the master. A good master treats a slave good. The word slave seems to be bad, right, because of our history. But in the Bible, there were slave owners in the Bible. And Paul had to teach slave owners how to treat that slave as a human, as a real human. And see, we are bond slaves to Jesus. We are bond servants to Him. I am chained to His will. Amen. Are you chained today to His will? Are you willing to allow the Holy Spirit to come in you and turn you into a whole different human? Just you go to work and all of a sudden someone says, "What happened to him?" And then you get the word and you share it. And things start to change. You start to pray. There was an area that we went into in China, up in Tibet, among these Tibetan Buddhists. We were driving along this road in this valley. I can remember it like it was yesterday. A flowing stream. And the Holy Spirit said, I want to move in this valley. Pray over this valley. So we began to pray over that valley. Long story short, a monk gave his life to Jesus Christ in that valley. We have discipled him. He's become an apostle. He's got 400 converts now. Runs an entire Tibetan Bible school, a linguistic program to teach Tibetans their own language. And they are just kicking the devil right in the face. You ever see Bubba without the tooth? That's about what he looks like up there, the devil. He's been getting his face kicked in for so long. And it all happened through prayer over that area. In that area, a monk stood up in a monastery. And the way they are, it's like every region has a monastery with monks. And those monks are like the high priest. If your kid gets sick, you go there and they throw a charm on him and demonize him and he gets worse. And then these monks, they feed them. They, you know, these monks never work. They can count 35,000 beads a day. This is all for their return when they come back in their, what do you call that? Reincarnation. And this monk who had been in all this all his life stood up one day in this temple in that area, in that valley, and he said this. One day, everyone will believe in Jesus Christ. Nobody knows why he said it, but guess what? A revival hit that valley, and everybody's starting to believe in Jesus Christ. If God can speak through an ass, he can speak through a monk. Amen? Amen? Because prayer not only changes people in the way they think, it changes physical atmosphere. It does. You know, the Holy Spirit's in us. We know that. He dwells in us. But guess what? The Spirit can come on us. He can come on us, and we can be different. Let me give you a story about the Spirit of God that come on a person in our ministry. He's a 80, oh, heck, he's pushing 87 now. Dude's got a huge goiter on his head as big as a baseball. And he wears this big old winter hat. Tibetan. Got saved at the age of 83. Was a devout Buddhist all his life, and he came to one of our trainings. Our ministry sends. We raise up locals, train them, and then we send them. Send them to the highways, byways to preach the gospel and make disciples. No rocket science. It's just sort of 101, you know, in your face. I'm preaching to you. You get saved. I train you. You become somebody great, and we release you to do great things. So he comes to this training. He had to travel many miles. And we had 50 of these Tibetans, and he was there, one of them, the oldest. And he said at the end of the training, he was so weak in his body, like he couldn't hardly move. And we were sending everybody the next day. And he was praying, Lord, give me strength, give me strength. And he said all of a sudden, three humongous men fell through the ceiling of his room. Laid hands on him, spoke in another language, probably tongues. You don't speak in tongues, you're going to be disappointed when you get to heaven, because everyone's going to be speaking in tongues. So get over it now and just yield to that. I'm telling you. So they come over and spoke in tongues over him. And all of a sudden, he said, they disappeared. He said the next morning he got up, an 87-year-old Tibetan man. He said he got up, he felt like a 21-year-old man. He stuck his chest out, and he went out for a week, and he single-handedly converted 7 Tibetan families to Jesus Christ. Yeah. I had a conversation with him early this year. He said, oh, I wish I had known this when I was a little boy. I wish I would have been a Christian all my life. But I know I've got a few more years left in me. And I've told every person in my family already. I've told every monk in my area already. Boy, I wish I had another life to live, he said. Imagine it. 87-year-old man, full of the Holy Spirit, full of the destiny of God, confessing the things that are on God's agenda and not his. He'd have bellied up and died a long time ago if he would have been on his mindset, on his agenda. God is good. And sometimes we think that God's putting things in our life to teach us a lesson. Some people think that God uses tragedy to teach us. Some people think God uses a sickness to teach us. I'm sorry, that's not the God I serve. God doesn't teach nobody through tragedy. He doesn't teach anyone through sickness. Amen? Now, we learn a lot of things when we go through turmoil, right? But it isn't God up there just messing you over so you can learn a lesson. Of course, we learn something. But we can't sit back and say, well, I'm sick today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that sickness. I'm going to learn something today. My colon is about ready to fall out of my guts. And I think I'm going to learn something from the Holy Ghost today. Do you know there's a bunch of idiots in the body of Christ that believe that? You might be one of them. I used to believe that crap. And that's what it is. It's crap. And just because you get dumped on in life, welcome to the human race. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. That's why we can rise up above every occasion that comes at us. And we can say, no, I reject that. That's not the way it's going to be. My father, he died this year. And my dad, he used to be a real worrywart. And when we came back, I mean, I had not had enough money for health insurance all my life up until like a few years ago. And my dad would say stuff. He'd come to my house and he'd tell me how I was going to lose my home because I was going to get sick. And then I couldn't pay the bills and I was going to lose my home. Has anybody ever said that to you? Maybe you thought about it. Okay, I love my dad. And I said, I squared my dad in the eyes. And I said, Dad, I reject everything that comes out of your mouth today. And when you come to this house, Dad, I love you with all my heart. I'd die for you. I don't want to hear that spoken in this household. Now, we're not a perfect family. You can ask my wife. You can ask my son. I said, Dad, don't speak that to my house. And you know what? He didn't. And he didn't get offended. It's just the way you can love people and tell them to their face. I reject. I am not going to get sick. And I am not going to lose my house because I get sick and some hospital busts. I'm not. Amen? You're not. Amen? And you begin to speak the things that God speaks. You might offend a few people. But guess what? You might open a few eyes too. And they might begin to start acting like you do. And they might begin to confess what you do. My mom, she was the backup lady. What's the backup plan? Now, she has seen the blessing of God on our lives. She gets it. She gets it. There is no backup plan. God's will's perfect for these guys. God's will's great. Why not just follow it? Amen? Follow it. Don't let the devil stumble you through your bad confession, through your wrong proclamation, stumble you into the ditch of life, the sewer drain of life. Don't let your situation put a wet blanket over your life. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to snuff your light out. He wants to make you inefficient so that the world can't see that Jesus lives. And I don't know why the Lord has called us humans to represent him. But he has. He gave us dominion authority in Genesis over all the earth, right? Over all the creatures of the earth. And he's given us kingdom authority through the cross. Amen? When Jesus died, Jesus had all authority. He endowed us with that authority. I don't know why God, he just likes to hook up with humans. You know what I sort of, my doctrine is on that? I think he just wants to demoralize the devil and say, you know, these are humans, man. You can't conquer these people. They got the Holy Ghost. You mean you can't even take these humans out, you pathetic? I think that's what the Lord is that's all about that. Can you accept that? Just to moralize the devil. Some uneducated Western Pennsylvania hick. Send him to China and tell him to learn Chinese. I think he's just saying, this guy, I'm going to demoralize the devil on this one. He is the biggest dummy in the world. But I'm going to get him. And I'm going to send him over there, and he's going to start rapping in another Chinese dialect. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My Chinese anointing's coming on. Woo! I think it's so funny. I think it's so funny that some big, fat, pretty ugly-looking Western Pennsylvanian person speaks Chinese, that he can preach, he can teach, he can actually tell people off, too. I've done it a few times. It's not nice. I always tell my boys when we get into China, I say, put your China face on. Put your China face on. I say, put your Holy Ghost face on today. Put your Holy Ghost, put your armor on today. And when the devil comes knocking at your door, kick him in the face. And keep kicking him in the face. Keep rebuking him. Keep speaking God's future, not his, for you. Don't let him convince you that the doctors are right. Don't let him convince you that the bad report is going to kill you and ruin everything. Don't let him. And a lot of people think that's irresponsibility. A lot of people think, you know, he's living in a... they're nuts. No, no, we're speaking the reality of Christ. Hey, it is a reality when you get sick, right? It's a reality. But it also is a reality that Christ not only died for sin, but he died for all of my disease. Amen? When we preach the gospel in China, we preach the gospel that saved you from sin and sickness and delivered you from everything. Amen? And there's another truth that I've just recently, well, I've known this, but and you probably all know it too. You know, we think when we see the crucifixion of Christ, we see nails. We see a wooden cross. We see Roman soldiers. We see people mocking, don't we? But sometimes we forget when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was on his knees and he said, Father, take this, if you can take this cup away from me. Not thy will, not my will, but thy will be done. And some of us think in that passage that Jesus is talking about a scornful cross and nails and death. But he wasn't. He wasn't thinking about any of that. That was cream on the cake for Jesus. That was the easiest thing for him to do in his ministry. He was thinking of the wrath of the Heavenly Father that was going to come on his head. That the Heavenly Father, his own Father, turned from him. In a few days, my Father, my Heavenly Father, is going to turn and reject me. And he sweated blood with the thought that his Heavenly Father was going to turn from him and pin the sin of the world on his head. And Jesus bled and he agonized over the fact that his Father was going to reject him. You might be a rejected person. Your Father may have turned his back on you. Jesus understands that. And the father turned his back. And the whole place got dark. Right? Got dark. God turned on Jesus. Everything got dark. The veil of the old covenant cracks. Dead bodies got resurrected too. You better read your Bible, it happened. That would be, wouldn't that be freaky? Old Uncle Joe ends up for dinner. Wait, Uncle Joe died 20 years ago. Where in the heck is he doing here? Jesus just got his back turned on him by the Father. And the power of the Holy Ghost shot through that place. He was down taking captive the people out of Abraham's bosom. On the third day, death, amen? Death couldn't hold him down. Nothing, sickness couldn't hold him down. The power of the grave couldn't touch him. And God inserted his power. Imagine God the Father. He turned his back because my Bible says, he who knew no sin, he who never had it in his DNA, he didn't even know it, became sin. He became it. And God the Father had to put his wrath on his son and couldn't look at the sin of the entire world. He had to turn. But he became sickness. He became depression. He became something he wasn't. And he swallowed up sin. He swallowed up sickness. He swallowed up death so that we might, hallelujah, become the righteousness of God in Christ. Woo! That lights my fire. There's a Chinese character. It's not a person, a character. They call them the characters, the written language. We call it alphabet. They have no alphabet. That's hard to figure out. They only have 10,000 characters in the Bible. But there's a character in the Chinese language. It's a picture language. When I grew up, I couldn't read nothing. I mean, I just couldn't get letters and the way that all flowed. I can read now, but I don't like to read, as you can see. And these pictures come alive to me when I went over there. And I learned Chinese real fast. And there's a picture of righteousness. Gong yi. Yi. Wo shi yi ren. I am a righteous person. It's a lamb. Could you imagine this? It's a lamb over me. A lamb over me makes me righteous. It's the radical lamb. Yang. Like if you say lamb, and it's then the word me. It'd be like putting lamb in English and then me over top of it. In Chinese, that means righteous. The Lamb of God who come to take the sin of the world. Amen? A lamb. The Lamb of righteousness makes me righteous. And righteousness, you all know, is I now can stand in front of God. I can go right to him with a right attitude. I'm right now because of the Lamb. Amen. I can freely, the Bible says, I can go into the throne of grace freely and boldly make my request be known unto him because I have the Lamb, amen, the Lamb over me. I'm a righteous person. You're a righteous person, not in your own righteousness. It's all because of his righteousness, amen. It was like this sin is like a dam of water. Imagine all the sins of the world stored up in a dam. And you're standing there. And this dam breaks loose. And the wrath of that dam is coming down on your head. And all of a sudden, a big crack in the earth splits open and the water comes. And before it hits your feet, it goes right down the tube. That's what Jesus, amen. That's what Jesus did for us. He took the wrath of God. He took the scorns of the people on him so that we would not have to, amen. And so that we could go and we could share this glorious gospel, this gospel that transforms, this gospel that changes the way people think. Amen. And in China today, they say there's 160 million Christians. Imagine if we had 1% of the Chinese church as missionaries. That's a lot of dudes and dudettes. That's a lot of foot soldiers for Jesus Christ. Imagine if we, and I believe one day that God, and He is already in the process of releasing the Chinese church into all the world. They're already going back into the Middle East. They're already going to Jerusalem. I have a friend that trains Chinese that come from China to be missionaries in Jerusalem. And they're already preaching in Jerusalem and in the Middle East. These Chinese are like ants. I mean, you can't escape them. I mean, there is not a word for private in Chinese, privacy. It drives all the missionaries insane. You know, the Chinese, when you go for a ride and there's a gang of them, and your car can only hold like 5 people, they will get about 15 people in that car. And we've learned, and the thing about a missionary you've got to learn is the language of love. The language of love. There isn't no strategy out there that can teach you love. There isn't no strategy that you can draw up. I'm going to reach these people. A lot of missionaries, they've got all these strategies, all these different things. But one thing they lack, a lot of them, is the love of the Father. And then many of them become cannibalistic. And they turn on the very ones they love. And they say this: if we were in America, we wouldn't drive that way. If we were in America, standing in line at the airport, no one would cut in line. Guess what? We're not in America. Guess what? They're never going to do it like America. Amen? Go back to America and do it like Americans then. And see, your love will be challenged when you go out into the mission fields of the world. When you go out through that door, your love, you're going to get smacked right in the face by some idiot that doesn't drive right, or some idiot that just is an idiot. And your love, my brother, your love is going to be tried. And God's going to ask you, is it true? Is your love true for the people I've called you to? And I've given up long ago trying to change any of them little Chinese people that cut in line. Matter of fact, I am the best line cutter in the whole world. I will bounce you off a wall. I will smack you down onto the carpet. I will bounce you with my big rear end over to the other side of the room. And I will get on the airplane first. And over there, it's normal. You got 1 billion people. Americans hate that. Don't you hate when someone bumps into you in a line? It just... Me, I love it. Boom, give me some more. Ooh, another one. And boom, I'll give you one too. The Chinese are like that. When I went to China, I had an assignment to go buy to train tickets for a team, and the line was so long. And they were literally, it was like the WWF wrestling match. People were clawing. I mean, they were clawing, elbowing, and I'm like, I'm a young man, a bit of a redneck still there at that time, and I'm like, what do I do, Lord? And I just went in. I went in. I elbowed a guy on the head, man, knocked a dude's ribs out, scratched a dude's arm. He was bleeding. I got my greasy little white hand up in there, and I got my tickets. And no one batted an eye. That's just how they are. And I love it. And people think that the Chinese are these little timid people. They're not. They will smack you around, sister. I mean, they are these little bombastic sticks of dynamite. You get in an argument with them, you're going to have 50 or 60 of them jumping down your throat. And then they'll start beating each other up, and they won't even know why. They're crazy, but I love them. I love them to death. I'll pound them to death, too. And then love them all together. So our team, I'm going to shut my mouth here soon. I can't get to that sermon. Our team is full of loving brothers and sisters. And when you lead people, you lead them with an open hand. Amen? There's a lot of leaders that like to lead with a fist and control and control and control. Now, sometimes you got to open, you know, put the fist down on some folks every once in a while. But you lead with an open hand. And Pastor Mike, I got a word for you. You're like James, the brother of Jesus. The Lord calls you his brother. You're a brother to the Lord. And the Lord has called you, not as a pastor, you pastor, but you're an apostle, the Lord would say. I have called you like a James, my apostle, in a local church. He's an apostle that can pastor. But I've put deep roots into you, and I've raised you up, the Lord would say, as a father, not only to this house, but a father to the nations. And I am weaving a gang of pastors in Asia. I'm weaving a gang of them around you, saith the Lord, to be a father. And God is, these trips that you've been taking, God's setting you up to be an apostolic father to broken pastors. Pastors that need fathering. I know your pastor. I have seen him in action. I've taken a lot of pastors to China, and a lot of them have nothing to say. They're so set in sort of their Western way, they can't communicate a lot of spiritual things that translate over. But I have seen this man, Pastor, Apostle Pastor Mike. I have seen him in a wooden, really shabby shack amongst some really cut-up, low tribal people. Communicate the word of God, and they got it, and they get it, because God is putting a fatherly heart in you to father pastors. He's going to release you into that in a great way. I don't know how it's all going to happen, but it's going to be and your wife's going to be with you too. They're going to see you as like this mom and dad, pap and grandpap. It'll get into that, but it'll be a network of low down, cast down pastors that have been persecuted, that have been beaten. And they're going to see you as God is going to make that network even greater and bigger. At James. See, James was an apostle that it was in a local church in Jerusalem. So often we think Paul, the great apostle who traveled everywhere and on all these mission journeys. But you know, James, he probably went out here and there. He was in a local church, but he was still an apostle. Amen? Amen? And the apostleship of a church sets the tone of the way the church goes. It's the one that sets the tone. He's the one orchestrating, finding the giftings in others, and then delegating to them as he oversees the church, delegating and seeing people released in their ministry. See, James and apostles were all like that. Paul traveled more, of course. But James was still an apostle in a local church. And I see Pastor Mike. Really, the Lord spoke to me. He normally speaks to me when I get in the toilet, quiet. And he spoke to me today to say that over your life. That he's called you just not a pastor. You are an apostle pastor, an apostle that can pastor. All apostles can pastor people. But see, he goes too. He goes and he takes others. And it's going to get greater and greater in this body. As he goes, he will take others. And a network of young and old pastors alike will be woven unto you as sons of the faith. Amen. Amen. I'm going to leave that word, and this congregation can pray over that. I'm going to show. Do we have time for the video? It's 5 minutes. I'm going to show you this video. Just give you a little. You may have even seen it already. I don't know. I think it's a new one. My son put this one together. I want to show you this video, and you can see the places, the faces of the people that we love every time we go. Video one, brother. Amen. And that's what it's all about, folks. Touching people. Being purposely led to touch people. And to transfer the goodness. Amen. That's what a missionary's job is. To transfer the goodness of God that's in you into them. And they became great. And they go and they take over the country. Right now, our network, we have 14,500 converts in our network in the last 28 years. We've got 130 churches under our belt, and we're believing for more and more and more and more and more. Amen. And I want to thank you today for listening. May the Lord bless you. You have a great Sunday. Go Cowboys.